But I'm going to share with you a word today that's called how to issue a restraining order on the enemy. I could subtitle this, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more. Now you're about to sing it with me. Now, in my lifetime of 46 years of ministry, there have been times that I would rebuke the devil and it seemed like he wasn't buking. He wasn't listening. At times I've tried to resist the enemy, but I found out he came back a little bit later. There are other times, for example, that I have seen a spirit leave, not necessarily me, but other people. But later on, I will watch that person go into disobedience and watch that same spirit come back even worse than it did originally. And there's also times that I have prayed. In fact, many times I have prayed, but as I'm praying, I feel like my prayer is being hindered. It's like it's almost blocked in the spirit, and I can't feel that it's breaking through. Now, the four things I just said, have any of you in the audience ever experienced the same thing? Everybody here just raised their hands if you couldn't see that. Now, there's four things I've learned about warring in the spirit. And when I say spiritual warfare, it's a battle with spirits. You have God who is a spirit. You're not fighting him, but you have principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We wrestle against these. You also have belligerent attitudes in people. You have atheists, agnostics, unbelievers. And sometimes when they attack a person, you're dealing with a different level of warfare through people. I found out something. Principalities, which are demons, work through personalities, which are people. And a lot of times my trouble has never come necessarily from a demonic power itself. It's come from people who yielded to a spirit. And you're going to be the same way in your life. But there's several things I found out, four keys that I want to teach you right here. Number one, what you permit will persist. As long as you allow it, it will continue. Number two, Satan can hinder you, but only you can bring the defeat. Hopefully we'll touch on that in a minute. Number three, the door you open, you must close. If it's the wrong door, the door you open, you must close. But don't expect God to shut what you can shut. Let me say it again. Oh God, help me, help me, help me. Well, quit doing the stupid stuff you're doing. You'll get help. So in other words, you can talk about God shutting the door on something, but as long as you keep a door open, you keep a crack in the door, it's going to stay open, whatever that door may be. The fourth thing I want to tell you is this. What you let in through a door will never leave on its own. It will never leave, whether it be a spiritual power, it can be a person, it can be a situation, but it's not going to leave on its own. There is an authority that you have to take dealing with that door. There's an authority you have to take dealing with that spirit. There's an authority you have to take dealing with people that are belligerent. There is an authority that you have to have. I'm going to go to, for example, Mark chapter 9, and I'm going to tell the story instead of reading it because most of you are familiar with Mark chapter 9. I'm going to give you this amazing story. This is a story of a father that had a son that was having what we would call today epileptic seizures. Now, when you look at the word of what he was dealing with, how that spirit would throw him into the fire to burn him or into water to drown him, in the time of Jesus, they called this situation being moonstruck. That was the word for it. It was called being moonstruck. So a seizure was called he is moonstruck. Here's what they began to notice, and this is why they called it being moonstruck, because they noticed when the moon was full that the seizures would increase even more. So they somehow tried to connect this to the cycle of the moon. How many nurses are in the room today that, now, am I telling the truth? I have been told that on a full moon, it's crazy at a hospital. They're raising their hands that it is. Is it really true? Yes. And it's got to do with the tides and the pressure that's on the earth. In fact, for a long time, I would get extreme migraine headaches for 2 days right during a full moon. And I finally got over that. But I mean, it was really weird because I knew it had to be a full moon. I wasn't paying attention to it, but it's just like the pressure came and it's really weird. So this boy's having seizures, but Jesus did not connect it to the moon. He connected it to a spirit. He knew that there was a spirit that had attacked that boy's body. So in the process of this is what's interesting. 9 disciples are at the base of the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Father says, cast this spirit out of my son. And they couldn't do it. This is strange. They already had been given authority by Jesus, and Jesus said, I give you authority over all the powers of the enemy. Now, when Jesus says you have authority, that means all the powers of the enemy. That's this spirit as well. But 9 disciples praying over this boy could not relieve this boy of the spirit. So when Jesus comes off of the mountain, they begin to ask him, they begin to say, why is it that we could not cast him out? Now they had authority to speak it out and they didn't do it. And Jesus says this, it is due to your unbelief. Belief is faith. Unbelief is lack of faith or no faith. Now, this intrigued me. Because my question is this, the demon apparently knew that they did not have faith. They are praying, they are saying the name of Jesus, they're doing everything they watched Jesus do, but the spirit did not come out. This tells me something that you need to know, that evil spirits can tell if you have faith or not. I don't know how it works. I wish I could explain it to you. But the spirit world can discern if you have faith or not. When that pastor in Maryland years ago was called by this mother to pray for her son who had become possessed by spirits, the boy was acting like a lunatic fringe. It wasn't a mental issue, natural. It was a spirit. He walked into the boy's bedroom and the demon spoke through a teenage boy and said, you can't cast me out. You're too full. He hadn't fasted. He told the mother, he said, don't tell him I'll be back in 3 days. And the pastor locked himself up and fasted 3 days. And after a 3-day fast, came back and the mama knocked on the door and the boy came to the door and the pastor standing there and the demon screamed, oh no, you have been with Jesus. And he cast the spirit out of the boy and the boy was delivered. Now the unclean spirit in that boy and in the boy in the scripture knew that those disciples did not really have faith to believe that spirit was coming out. Now, you know the story how the Father saw Jesus and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus came and cast the spirit out. And then they said, why could not we cast him out? And he said, because of your unbelief. Unbelief is the biggest hindrance to keeping or restraining a satanic inspired attack from entering your life or you dealing with it. Everybody say unbelief. The book of Luke, the priest, and he happened to be the future father of John the Baptist, Zacharias is at the golden altar. Now, let me just take you through this to this journey. The golden altar, every morning on the outer court, the priest would stand and you had 24 courses of priests, different types of priests, but you had to select the man who was going to burn the incense. And it was an honor to take the incense in that day, representing the prayers of the saints. And they would put their hands behind their back and hold up fingers. And the priest would say, okay, and they called it the lottery. And this one would they won, and this one would do 3. And the closest one to the priest's fingers, oh, you were 3? No one had 1 or 2. 3, you were the man to burn the incense. And this is basically how they chose the person from that particular group for that season. Zechariah was the man who was chosen. And as he goes in there, I'm sorry, Zechariah says he goes in there, there's the golden altar. Now, no one's supposed to be there. There are never 2 priests permitted in there at one time. And he sees somebody standing on the right side of the altar. The right side of the altar in Jewish tradition in that day was reserved only for the Lord. And if you saw someone in the golden altar, it meant that you were about to die. So he is absolutely freaking out because he thinks, I've done something wrong. God is now sending an angel to judge me. But the angel interrupts him and says, you've been praying for a boy. You're going to have a son. Call his name John. Come in spirit and power of Elijah. Now, he should have enough sense to know this is an angel. He's given me a revelation. They had been praying for a son. And yet when the angel brought him the answer to prayer, he says, give me a sign. You've been praying. You want a boy. You and your wife, you're barren, an angel shows up, tells you it's gonna be a boy, wife's gonna conceive, gives you the name, and you want a sign. And the angel just said, oh, I'll give you a sign. And that quick, he couldn't talk. The old word is dumb. And I don't like to use that word with someone that can't speak, but there are some demons, there are some dumb devils, so I will tell you that. But dumb or inability to speak. Now, 9 months, this man could not talk, and he was a priest. We would say today he was a minister. Can I tell you this? I'd lose my mind if I couldn't talk for 9 months. No, I would. I don't. Oh, my God. Poor Perry Stone, he's a lunatic. So, unbelief is so serious with the Lord that it says that in Nazareth, his hometown, he could do no mighty works. It didn't say he wouldn't. He said he couldn't. Somebody tell me why. Because of their unbelief. And he later rebukes his disciples for hardness of heart. Now, what does that mean to have a hardened heart? Let me explain this to you. The disciples had just watched Jesus multiply bread and fish, supernatural miracle, creative miracle, 12 baskets left over from a little boy's lunch. They get in a boat, they go over to the other side of the sea, and a storm hits, and Jesus has to rebuke the storm, and he looks at them and said, "Oh, ye of little faith, how long shall I be with you?" And it says this in the Bible, he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Wow. How can you sit under a miracle, a creative miracle that's never happened in world history except the manna coming down from heaven in Israel? And how can you watch a miracle and get and say, "Wow, that was the coolest thing. I ain't never seen so many fish sandwiches in all my life, man. This is, we didn't even have to go to a bakery. We didn't have to go to the ministry funds. This is crazy." You know, everybody getting excited. So they get on a boat after seeing this miracle, and a storm's coming. Instead of them saying, "Don't worry about it. Anybody that can multiply bread and fish can stop a storm." No, "Care us not that we perish. What's going to happen to us?" Now you say, "That's crazy. I would have never doubted." Let me tell you something. You do it all the time. You will get a word from the Lord, a prophetic word in a church service, and get in the automobile, and before you get home, the enemy will make you doubt it was really for you. And you'll get a word from God in a message, and your faith will be built up in the sanctuary, and as you're leaving, you'll start having 1,000 questions. "Well, what about this? What about that? I know that, okay, Lord, I know that was you. But. And all every time that you're saying but to God, God's looking at you saying, "Your butt's too big." And I meant that in the context of what I was saying. But you can tell people are in unbelief because they'll say, "Well, you know, I'm believing God, but you know what? God's been really helping me, but you know, there's still a, you know what? I've been praying and I've been feeling the presence of God, but get the butt out of your life. Talk to me, somebody." You need to clap a little louder than that. I might be talking to someone in this place today. You know what I mean? Just might be talking to somebody in this place. All right, let's continue here because we want to get into this. Now, the spirit world knows if you have faith, and it knows if you have unbelief. And this is very important that you understand this. So if I am praying a prayer to God, and yet in my heart I have questions, the spirit world of both angels and demons will know if I really believe what I'm praying. I personally think that the two biggest hindrances in true spiritual warfare of getting complete victory are two things. Number one is our unbelief. We're like the dad. "I believe, but help my unbelief. I know, Jesus, you can do it, but I just saw something that didn't work. I have a conflict going on, a conflict of I believe Jesus can do it, but a conflict of my circumstances is saying nothing's happening." So unbelief will be number one. Number two, and I'm not going to preach on this today, but number two is the fact that unforgiveness is the biggest hindrance to not only your life, but to your prayer life. According to Jesus, your own forgiveness hinges on your ability to forgive other people. Because he says, if you don't forgive everyone your brother's trespasses, neither will my heavenly Father forgive you of your trespasses. That's a heavy verse. That's a frightening verse. So in other words, and I want to stay on this vein of thought for just a minute. What unbelief does, because I've meditated on this, why is unbelief so bad? Doesn't he understand we're human? Doesn't he understand we have questions? Doesn't he understand, doesn't God understand we're just made of clay? So why would he want to fuss with us over unbelief? And the Holy Spirit a few weeks ago gave me an answer. Because here's what unbelief creates. Unbelief creates double-mindedness. Listen to James 1, 6 through 8. Here's what it says. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose, or that's man or woman, that they can receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded, two-souled person who is unstable in all of his ways. And I would say that would be he or her, either one. Now, double-minded in Greek is double-souled. You only have one soul, but you have two hemispheres. Remember last night's message? And so when you get into unbelief, the reason it is such a challenge in your prayer life, in fasting, in praying, in ministering to people, is because when you become double-minded, you believe, but you doubt. You believe, but you question. You believe, but you feel unbelief. Now, when Jesus said this, and I'm going to bring this out, I think right here is a good place to bring this out. When Jesus made this statement, if you can have faith a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall not doubt in your heart, but what you say will come to pass. I went to Israel and saw a mustard seed. A mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in the world. And yet if you plant it properly, it grows into this beautiful giant tree. They're all over Israel. Now, think about this. If all it takes is the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, what he says is it doesn't take but an itty bitty tiny speck of faith for you to say to a problem, go, I'm done with this. And I'm thinking to myself, but God, everybody's got a little bit of faith. This is another one I don't understand. Everybody I preach to has got a measure of faith. So would that measure of faith not be enough? But yet they're speaking and speaking, nothing's happening. And the Lord spoke to me and said, read the verse again. If you have faith, the grain of the mustard seed, and say to the mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. And here's what he said to me. It is not the amount of faith you have that gets the job done. It's the absence of doubt. Did you get it? So in other words, I don't have to say, increase my faith. Oh God, help me to believe. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. All I have to do is focus on the fact of shutting the door completely on unbelief. Now, let me tell you why that's hard to do. Because many times your mouth doesn't agree with your spirit. You gonna go there? Many times your mouth is what gets you in trouble. I think Joyce Meyer, who's a wonderful lady, wrote a book called Me and My Big Mouth. Is that true? I think I saw that one time and I thought, I need to order that one. Me and my big mouth. So your mouth, let me show you why the mouth is important with your faith. Now, what we're teaching on is how to issue a restraining order against the enemy, Satan, or whatever the case may be. And we're building our foundation right here. So you've got to stay in the foundation area, okay? Romans 10 and 8. For the word of faith is near your mouth and in your, even in your mouth and in your heart. Mark 11, 24. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. All right? Now, this is important to understand. The word of faith is in your heart. It begins there, but it is expressed by what you're saying. And then if, for example, in my heart I believe, but if my mouth is coming contrary to what I believe, I make void my request. I hinder God's ability of moving. And here's the reason why. If I were to pray a prayer in unbelief, yet God answer it, then I would take the assumption that I can pray the rest of my prayers if I don't have faith, and he'll answer them anyway. But he wants to answer it in faith while you had faith to build your faith. Listen to this. I'm going to paraphrase it. And he answers your prayer that your joy might be full. There's no greater joy that you'll ever get as a believer, in my opinion, than you praying for your kids and you watch them get saved. You pray for that financial miracle and you watch the breakthrough. Now you talk about building your faith. Listen, when we went to build this building and we needed millions of dollars, when that first check came in, all my young people, you know, these are college age kids mostly, they said, come on, Pops, how much you need now? How much you need now? They believed at that point that God could give us the whole city if he wanted to. They believe we could find a gold mine on our property. Is y'all listening? By the way, I don't have one, so don't show up out there. Okay, so, but what I'm saying is, what God uses your faith in your own prayer. Now, see, if I ask everybody else to pray, my prayer might have been answered on the faith of someone that was interceding and standing in the gap for me. But if I pray that prayer consistently and it happens, I get my faith built. Now, when I go to pray again, what happens to me? My joy is full, and I said, he did it once, he'll do it again. I've watched God do that. And then when you get your prayer answered and you know you prayed it, then you testify to other people, if God did this, honey, you hang on. He did it for me. He's going to do it for you. Hallelujah. And that's why it's important that you pray your prayer and eliminate doubt. It's not the level of faith. All it takes is a little, but it's getting rid of the doubt that is significant and important. Now let's go back to the story for a moment, because I'm going to give you the verse on the restraining order of Jesus against this demon, and then we're going to elaborate. The boy is delivered, or he's getting ready to be delivered. Jesus saw the people. This is Mark 9:25. When Jesus saw the people who came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him. Put the period there. That's what we do. We never, and I'm telling you, I've seen many people delivered from spirits, but I've never heard too many people say this. Then Jesus said, enter him no more. Whoa. So we cast the devil out, and hallelujah, the demon just came out. Wait. Jesus didn't stop there. He says, now, when you leave, I'm shutting the door on you. When you leave, you are not coming back to torment this child. Is anybody ready to understand right now how to issue a restraining order on the enemy? Let's go there right now. Give the Lord a hand of praise, my Lord. Praise God. I heard this many times on Saturday afternoon. I have never missed a main event in many years, and this week's services were the greatest revelation of God's Word yet. Personally, the morning services released the most profound right now practical series of revelations that I've actually ever heard in my 46 years of ministry. The five messages that I preached were all new insights, some I had never seen until recently, that were birthed in the secret place of prayer. I felt impressed to emphasize lessons on defeating the strange attacks of the enemy, and I included a significant prophetic update, also teaching on the meaning of the year 5783 and teaching the authority of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Here's the title of my five messages: The Five Prophetic Omens Coming in 2023, The Prophetic Decree of the Watchers, The Satanic Ambush in the Spirit-Filled Edge, Recovering When Satan Chastises Your Peace, How to Issue a Restraining Order on the Enemy. Tony Scott taught a word that opened up a new spiritual level, and the title of the message was Living in the Highest Kingdom Life. Ron Carpenter brought the people to their feet with a powerful word, the legal side of prayer. Tommy Bates built our faith and just literally brought in the glory of the Lord with It's Time to Release the Supernatural. This main event series is a solid investment in your spiritual growth, explaining battle-proven tactics, and also increases your knowledge and provides faith-building truths that unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God in the time of the end. There are four ways in which to order. Call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD or call our Voice of Evangelism offices at 423-478-3456. Or you can order online at perrystone.org requesting the 2022 main event CDs or the DVDs. You can also mail in your order to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Now always remember to request either 22ME CD for the CDs or 22ME DVD for the 8 DVDs. Some DVD messages also have various pictures and scriptures to enhance the meaning of the message so that you can see and hear the word of the Lord. Now the 8 CDs are $55, the 8 DVDs are $95, and we will pay the postage. If this year has been difficult,
and you've been hit from different directions, I can assure you these messages will give you weapons for warfare, tools for living, encouragement in your spirit, and help build your faith. And they will help you to break the strongholds and oppression of the adversary. The prophetic update is also very powerful. Please order yours today and help keep Manifest on the air.
Well, I want to greet everyone, and I want to thank you for joining me. Now, this will be the last excerpt that you will see of the main event. Now, remember, I did 5 messages, and you only see about a 21, 22-minute clip. The message is usually over 70 minutes long or close to that. Our morning speakers, you don't see any of their clips because they are just on the CD and DVD. And so this is important. All these powerful messages can be yours right now, but this is your last opportunity to get them. And this one I preached that you saw an excerpt of on issuing a restraining order on the enemy, the Holy Spirit began to show me how that many times the Lord allows things to happen that we go through to endure by faith. And we have patience and have to stand, having done all to stand. And there's other things that the enemy is doing that we allow him to continue doing it, believing that somehow God may be wanting to teach us something. And actually, it's just a pure attack of the enemy. You got to separate those two. And then as long as you permit it to occur and say, well, whatever will be, this is my lot in life, you will continually keep the door open. The way you keep it shut is to learn how to issue in the spirit world a restraining order on the adversary. And I'm telling you from personal experience and experience of my own family and my family's family and generations past, this actually literally does work. Because some things, let me tell you something, supernatural battles have to be handled supernaturally. You cannot take a supernatural demonic attack and try to fight it with natural weapons. If you do, you will fail every time. You have to fight it with the use of angels, with the use of prophetic words, and with the use of scripture. Anyway, I don't want to re-preach the message, but you can get that and get these, again, last opportunity you have to get the DVDs or the CDs. Just real quick, we want to make you aware that next year, our prophetic summit will be the end of April, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We are putting the registration up the first of the year for that. We ask you, please do not register unless you know you're coming and planning on coming so that we can get a true registration. We have our main event in October, and listen to me real careful. Don't forget that we will plan on going to Israel every November. And so we're going to go our the Perry Stone Tour, which is my family and our partners and friends of our personal friends of our ministry can go with us in November. And you can contact us. We'd love to have you go with us. We have one of the best trips going. Everything is included in the trip. We'll see you next week on Manifest.